And hey, it's been a good morning so far. So here we go. Amen. That's right. You know, I usually tell the worship team as I'm coming up here, I say, hey guys, thanks. But I wanted to say thank you to you guys today as we were singing How Great Is Our God. And they all stopped playing and we were just singing as a church. That was awesome. That was just a powerful time of worship. I don't know if it was for you, but it was for me. So thank you guys for doing that. It's just an awesome thing just to hear God's people just glorifying and worshiping him. So thank you for that. I got to listen to you, so now you get to listen to me. So hopefully it's as edifying to you. But last week we talked about praying and healing and restoration, right? And how to pray for these breakthroughs. And at times it doesn't feel like it, but the Bible promises us, God promises us that he will answer all of our prayers. And if we just look at Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, call to me and I will, right? I will, and you might want to circle that, because it's not I might, it's not when I feel like it, it's not when I'm having a good day, but he says, I will, right? Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Right? It's a promise from God that he will answer our prayers. God answers every single prayer. He doesn't answer them how we want them, how we want him to all the times. Right? Like wait. Right? How many of us love hearing wait when we ask a question? But wait is an answer. Right? Sometimes God says, not yet, you got to grow up first. Right? But that's still an answer. And no. No is an answer. Every prayer is answered, but God doesn't say yes to every prayer. And there are many, many, many reasons why he can say no. And I can't even count or number them all. If you are a parent, you know there's 1,000 good reasons to say no. Right? But when God does say no, it can be one of the greatest tests of your faith in your life. Right? Particularly the times that there's been a dashed dream or an unfulfilled longing or a sudden and unexplained fatal sickness of a loved one or a child. And at that time, those no's seem unbearable. It will absolutely be the single greatest test in your life when God asks you, are you going to trust me or not, when he says no to your prayers. This is something you will deal with. So we need to address this as a church. We need to look at this. How do we respond? What do we do when God says no? And today I want to do two things as we look at the scripture. You're going to get a twofer. You're going to get two sermons in one time slot. So write quickly. Right? The first thing I want to do is I want to just give you three possible reasons why God says no. Just three general foundational reasons why God might say no. As I said before, I'm sure that there's thousands of good reasons, legitimate reasons why God says no, but today I'm just going to give you some three foundational basic reasons. Then after I do that, I want to share with you what to do when God says no to your prayers. Right? You're going to get a lot of yeses, but you're also going to get a lot of no's. So let's start by looking at these three of 1,000 good reasons why God may say no to you. But before we start, I want you to look at your outline, and there's a caution at the top of your outline, right? Right under this, and it says this: use these to comfort yourself, but never use them with somebody in pain because you don't know why God said no to them. Right? It's very presumptuous, right? Foolish of you to assume that you know why God said no to somebody. Right? And explanations rarely comfort anyway. Right? When our first child died in the womb and Melissa had a miscarriage, I remember the nurse said to me, oh, this isn't a big deal. 50% of first-time pregnancies end this way. I don't care if that's a true explanation or not. That did not help the situation. I could tell you some things that I thought at that time would help, but they were not very pastor-like of me. So I will keep those to myself. Right? So why an explanation may be perfectly accurate, they're not always helpful at the moment. Right? People always say, I don't know what to do or what to say to that person who's in that tragedy. Well, don't say anything. Just sit there. Just practice the ministry of presence, right? For 7 days, Job's friends sat with him, just carrying the pain with him. They didn't get in trouble until they opened their mouths, right? Many of you didn't even know. You're like, oh, they were there for 7 days? Yeah, it's one sentence in the Bible. They sat there for 7 days. Amen. But they got in a whole lot of trouble once they just start yapping, right? Sometimes, just keep your mouth closed, right? So now I've given you that caution. So let's look at some three possible reasons why God says no. Number one, God says no when he has a bigger perspective, right? If you could see your life the way that God does, would your prayers be different? Absolutely, right? If we could see our whole life, we would have different prayers. If we knew how things fit together, we would have different prayers. If we knew where we were going to be in 10, 15, 20 days, months, years, our prayers would be different, right? So God has a bigger perspective. The fact is, when I ask God for something, I can't even imagine the implications, right? The consequences or the results. I don't know the consequences, good or bad, of my prayers. But every prayer has consequences, and God knows what they are. Now, sometimes God says no to your prayers to protect you from something that you can't see, or maybe to guard you, or sometimes to grow you in his likeness. I want you to look at this verse in Proverbs 2. We're going to read 6 through 8. It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of his saints." Notice that the Lord guards and protects. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that God's going to take you out of trouble. It doesn't mean that he takes you out of the frying pan that you're in. But it does mean that he may leave you in the frying pan. He just keeps you from getting burned. Right? Sometimes you'll say, "God, don't let me go through this trial." And God says, no, you're going to go through it. But when you come out the other side, you're going to be better. You're going to be more like me. Right? One of the hardest times that I had in ministry is I was asked to be on a group of men who were investigating an inappropriate relationship between a pastor and one of the members. Some of the toughest months of my life as we looked at this and God exposed things to us. And there were 6 of us that were literally in the middle of a divided church, a church at war. And there were 6 of us that were looking into this. And I remember one Sunday morning, I was standing at the front doors of the church and I was looking outside. And there was a man who was on that team with me, and he had been a pastor for 30 or 40 years, and he was standing next to me. And I said, "Hey, Clay, I used to look at the church as a place where I could come and get rest and get refilled and get protected. And now I'm standing at these doors wishing that God would let me go, that I could go back to the world and be safe and protected in the world and inside these church doors." It was an ugly, ugly time, and it was tough. But God didn't allow any of us to leave. And I remember the 6 of us at nights, we would pray as we were in our groups, "God, just let this be over." If we're honest, some of us were praying, "God, just let me go somewhere else. It's cool. You can release me to go. This is an unbearable pain." But we prayed and we talked. But as we got through it, we noticed that God watched over and he protected these men. And he had bigger plans for this church. Little did any of us know that in just a few years, this church of about 130 people would plant a church in a refugee complex down the street. That they had a preschool, that they transitioned from a preschool to a fully accredited elementary, Christian elementary school. And just last year, the church bought 10 acres to expand their ministry. And God saw, God had a plan, he had a perspective for what he was going to do with that church, and he had to clean some things up first. And out of those 6 men that were in that group and how he protected and watched over us, there was 2 men's accountability groups that were formed that were growing men in their likeness of Christ. There was small groups that came out of a discipleship, right? One of those men became a missions pastor. 2 of the men in that group became lead pastors at churches. And God was had a perspective and was watching over and protecting those men. Paul's deepest prayer is that he wanted to go to Rome and preach the good news, right? At that time, Rome was the capital of the world, right? Everything that went on in the world went through Rome. And Paul had a prayer to go to Rome and preach the gospel. But I'm sure that Paul's plan didn't include him sitting in prison writing letters, right? He wanted to go preach the gospel. He wanted to do like a harvest-style crusade in the Colosseum and preach to thousands of people the good news of Jesus Christ. How many times do you think Paul prayed, God, please let me out of here so I can preach the gospel to thousands? And God said, no. See, God had a bigger perspective. God said, hey, Paul, you're exactly where I want you. I want you chained in prison because you're writing letters that are going to share the gospel with millions of people. Millions. We're thinking thousands, and God's thinking millions of people are going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ because of those letters that you're writing right now. Right? Sometimes God says no because he has a bigger perspective. Number two, and the second possible reason. Not only does God say no when he has a bigger perspective, but God says no when he has a bigger plan, a better plan. God says this, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Right? God says that my ways are higher, right? My ways are better than yours. He says, I've got a better plan than you have. You see, the problem is that when we pray, we don't just tell God what we want. We tell him how to give it to us. Right? We want it our way. But unfortunately, our way is usually the easiest way. Right? God doesn't want to use the easy way to answer. He wants to give us the best way. He wants us to have the best way that we will keep growing in his likeness. God's way more interested in your character than your comfort. When you look back, right, if you're being honest with yourself, you're probably glad that God didn't say yes to some of your prayers. I can tell you for sure that I am. Right? If you've ever been to a high school reunion, you've probably quoted the theologian Garth Brooks, thanks God for unanswered prayers. Right? You're looking back at high school, oh, that was a bad idea. Right? In 2007, I remember I resigned my commission in the United States Marine Corps, and my plan was to become a Navy chaplain. And I went to seminary, and as I got close to graduating from seminary, I filled out the paperwork to be a Navy chaplain. And God said no. For unexplainable reasons, and for things that were not able to be fixed by human hands, that was not going to be an option anymore. And I was devastated. That's what I thought I was going to do with my life. And I remember I was begging God, and crying out before God, God, just tell me what you want me to do. I was almost done with seminary, and I dropped out because I thought that's what I was supposed to do, so I stopped going. And I remember with Melissa, we were sitting there praying, and I was begging and pleading with God to give me an answer for what he wanted me to do. And God answered me through my wife. And Melissa, I remember she looked at me and she said, if you knew that this was God's plan for you, would you have gotten out of the Marine Corps? No way. Absolutely not. And I just remember she just looked at me and she said, exactly. God will tell you exactly what you are ready for. Right? And looking back, I am so glad that God said no to that prayer, right? In that time, he had planned for me to serve 7 years working with missionaries in closed and hazardous countries. And I got to travel the world. I got to travel with David Platt and Zane Pratt and Nick Ripken. I got to serve as an associate pastor near a Marine base. And guess what? It was just like being a chaplain, except I got to sleep in my own bed. I didn't have to take any physical fitness test. I didn't have to eat that gross food. It was awesome, right? Much better than I could have planned. Right, I got to share Jesus all over the world. God used me as a chaplain after natural disasters in the Philippines and in Nepal and in the U.S. And I got to share Jesus without the restrictions of any uniform. And through those last 10 years, as I look back, I see that God was preparing me to be a pastor here at Calvary. And praise God, his plans are better than mine. I remember when we were doing the pastor search committee and Joe Eddy asked me a question. And he said, "Hey, pastor, in 10 years, where do you see yourself from now?" And I remember sitting there and I thought back to the last 10 years of my life and my mind exploded. And I didn't have an answer. And the only thing I could think of was, well, 10 years ago, I didn't see myself here. Right? I didn't see myself here. God has said no to me so many times that for me to believe that I can be a follower of Christ and be obedient to Christ, I have learned that my plans really don't matter much. Right? When I give God that blank check and say, "Hey, God, whatever you want me to do, your plans are better than mine." God has a bigger perspective and God has better plans. And we see this all throughout Scripture. You remember when Joseph, when he was praying to God to rescue him from his brothers, and God said no, and the nation was saved. You remember when Moses said, "God, have somebody else talk to Pharaoh," and God said no, and the Israelites were released from their bondage. Do you remember when Jonah said, "Hey, God, can I go somewhere else?" And God said no, and one of the most wicked towns in the world at the time was saved. Right? God has a bigger perspective, and he's got a better plan. And number three, God says no when he has a greater purpose. Right? In Psalms 57:2, it says, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purposes for me." See, God isn't obligated to explain why he does anything that he does. Right? He doesn't owe you or anybody else an explanation. He's God. You're not. And I forgot who it was, but they said, "Hey, if you don't like it, get your own universe." Right? He's God, and you're not. And there's just going to be some things that you can't, that you don't understand. But he does say this. He says, "I have a purpose for your life." See, not everything that happens in your life is good, and you know that. A lot of bad stuff happens because you make bad choices. And other people make bad choices, but God goes, "I can use that. I can use the stupid things you do, and I can use the stupid things that they do, and those dumb mistakes that y'all do, and I can fit them into my purpose." Right? Everything that God allows in your life, even the bad stuff, is for his purpose. So what do? Right? Anytime that you're discouraged, you remind yourself that God has a greater purpose for your life. You need to remember that he has a bigger perspective. He's got a better plan, and he's got a greater purpose. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, it says this. It says, "For the light momentary affliction," right? The troubles that you're going through right now, those little things that you're facing right now, "is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Right? So he's saying that reward that's coming is heaven. And it's being prepared for you in heaven. And he says, "And as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So we don't look at the troubles that we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we can't see. Right? For the troubles that we see and the troubles that we're dealing with will soon be over. But if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, we know that the joy will come in the morning and the joy will last forever. And church, as your pastor who prays for you, as your pastor who loves you, I want you to listen to this. If you're going to have peace in your life, you're going to have to learn one truth. You're going to have to learn this reality that there are some things in life that you're just not going to understand until you get to heaven. There are some things you're just not going to understand. You're not going to know why. But here's the good news. You don't need an explanation. You just need Jesus. You don't need to know why. You just need to know who. You just need Jesus, and you can be filled with joy, right? Don't get me wrong. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry out to God. But we need to remember Habakkuk's praise of God. If we went to the end of Habakkuk in chapter 3, if you guys remember this, Habakkuk said this, though the fig tree should not blossom nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on high places. As followers of Jesus, we have to trust his perspective and his plans and his purposes for us. He is God, and you're not. And when nothing else makes sense, as a follower of Jesus, we can always return to the joy of our salvation. When you're struggling with God saying no, you can fall back on those three possible reasons. But as I reminded you at the beginning, when you're sharing with a friend or when you're talking with a friend, just keep your mouth shut about those. Just practice the ministry of presence. But when you're going through hard times, think back on God's perspectives and his purposes in our life. So there's some groundwork, there's some basic things of why God may say no. And now I want to spend a little bit of time, and I want to look at what to do when God says no, right? When you're facing that time and you've prayed for something and God's answers came and it's no. The first thing that we have to do is we have to trust his goodness. I remember when I was in a small town in Yei, Sudan, and I was working with a guy named Bishop Taban, and we sat down at a restaurant, and I'm going to use the term very, very loosely. There was three options. You can have steak, salad, or spaghetti. I love steak, love salad, not a big fan of spaghetti. And the waiter asked, hey, what do you want? Before I could answer, Bishop Taban said he'll have the spaghetti. And I was saying, But I trusted Taban. I thought maybe he knows something that I don't know, so I kept my mouth shut. And just a few minutes later, there was this big old freezer. And the guy walked over there, and he pulls out this cow that is still in one piece, and he takes this knife and just starts hacking at a leg on it through all the flies that are gathered on it. Here's the thing about the freezer. There's no power in Yei, right? So that's not a freezer like you and I know it. That's a box. And I'm not sure how long that cow had been sitting in its own blood with those flies in that box. But I can tell you right then, I'm like, I'm glad I did not get the steak. And then a few minutes later, I saw a guy take some of the lettuce and some of the vegetables, and he goes down to the river, and he starts washing it off. And about 10 feet away from him, there's a big water buffalo, right? And there's kids, and there's animals. And I'm looking at the way that water flows, and when we say downstream, that's where they're washing these vegetables. And I'm thinking, hallelujah, I got spaghetti, right? And then he went over to this shelf and he got a can, I think it was Chef Boyardee, I'm not sure, but a can of spaghetti, and he opened it and dumped it on a plate, and I was so happy, right? I remember I looked at Taban and we just made eye contact, and he's like, I got you, brother. And man, but I had to trust in his goodness, right? He was looking out for me. Taban's goodness saved me. Well, maybe death, but at least. But I do know it saved me a lot of sickness at the very least, right? In Psalms 25, it says this, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness, and for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. See, there are no unloving paths for those who love God and who follow God. And God can't act in an unloving way because God is love, right? And we as followers of Jesus Christ, we can trust his goodness. When God says no to you, you've really got three options. You can resist it, you can resent it, or you can relax in it, right? You can resist it and you can fight God and you can get mad at God and you can turn your back on God and you can say, okay, God, if you're not playing by my rules, I'm going to take my ball and go home, right? I'm done with you. And some people have actually done this, and they've walked away from God because he said no. And they didn't trust that he had a better perspective or a bigger plan for their lives. And they just walked away in resentment. Or when he says no, you can relax and you can trust in his goodness. And you can say this, and I've said this many times in my life, God, this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, right? I don't understand. God, this is painful, right? This hurts me right now. But I know this. I know that why this doesn't feel good. And I know that what's happening right now doesn't feel good. I do know that you are good. You are a good and a holy God. And you're a loving God. And I know that you've never stopped loving me. And even in this situation, I know that your love remains for me. Right? And I will trust in your goodness. Number two, and the second thing that we can do when God says no, is we can seek his will. Right? You can pray what Jesus prayed when he was facing the cross. Jesus prayed a night before that he went to the cross. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows that tomorrow he's going to be suffering. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be hung on a cross. He's going to be shamed. He's going to be spit on. He's going to be whipped. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be forsaken by his Father. And the Bible says that in all this agony, he went to the garden to pray. And the prayer that he prayed at that same time is the prayer that we should pray when we are in pain. And in Mark chapter 14, it says this. It says, "And going a little further, he, being Jesus, fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him." So what's God saying at this point? Jesus is saying, "Father, if there's any other way to salvation for the world, let's do that plan." Right? I don't like this plan. I don't like what I'm going through right now. I don't want to face what I'm about to go through. Right? And we've prayed this as we've chased God, as we seek God. We said, "God, as we're facing, I don't want to face this. I don't want to face cancer or surgery or divorce or death or whatever." We say, "God, I don't want to do this." And then we see Jesus, he prays this. And Jesus prayed, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Amen. And this is a prayer that we can pray when we're in pain. And I want to look at three things, three parts of this prayer that we can do when we're praying. I want you to write these down. The first thing that we can do is we can affirm God's power. Right? And Jesus says this, "All things are possible." Right? God, you're God. You can do anything you want. There's nothing holding you back. You're not restrained. So we need to affirm God's power. And second, we need to ask with passion. We need to ask with our hearts. "Father, please take this cup of suffering away from me." And there's too many times that we say, "Well, God doesn't want to hear it. God might get angry with me. God doesn't know my heart. And I don't want him to know that it's bad." He knows you. He knows your heart and he knows your passions. And he wants you to come and plead with him and share your heart with him. And then finally, we can accept God's plan. And Jesus says, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." Right? That's what I want, God. Ultimately, I want what you want. And when we pray, when we're in praying, that's okay. It's okay to be hurt. But ultimately, we need to be focused on what God's will is. And we have to want what God wants. And when we delight ourselves in who he is, he gives us the desires of our heart. So moving on to number three. What do I do when God says no? I trust in his goodness and I seek his will. And number three is I depend on his grace. When I say grace, what is grace? And grace is God's power to handle our pain. You know, even Paul, who God used to write most of the New Testament, he didn't get yeses to all of his prayers. In fact, he has what he called a thorn in his flesh. And we don't exactly know what this is or what it was, but we know it was a lifelong problem that caused great pain in Paul's life. And Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, this is the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with the weakness, the insults, the hardships, the persecution, and calamities. Thank you. For when I was weak, then I am strong. Right, Paul says this is God has blessed me so much that he gave me this problem, that this thorn in my side that just wouldn't go away, but it would keep me dependent upon him. And he said, many, many times I prayed for God to take it away. And God said no. See, sometimes God says no, so we have no other option but to depend on him. Right? When we're dependent on him and on his grace, we are reminded of the time that he said yes. God, Jesus, said yes to the cross. He said yes to carrying your sins. He said yes to facing the wrath of God. He said yes to the only way that you and me could have true life. Right? Everything else leads to death, but because Jesus said yes to the cross, we can have life. If God never says yes to another prayer in my life, I still owe him my life. And you do too. Right? You wouldn't be saved if it weren't for him. You wouldn't be on your way to heaven if it weren't for him. All the things that God has done for you, if he never, ever says yes again, God is still good, he's still faithful, and he's still trustworthy. If he never says yes again, he's still loving, he's still almighty, he's still worth every single one of your praises. His grace upon grace is not only sufficient, but it's overwhelming for each of you. And if he never says yes again, our hope is still only found in Christ himself. And praise be to God that we knew this truth as we walked through the darkest valleys that we've been through. Right? If God says no forever, and he might, praise be to God forever and ever and ever that he said yes to the cross. That yes to the cross means more than any no that he ever has said or will say. But the question is this, not how you respond to the no's, but how did you respond to the yes? How have you responded to Jesus Christ saying, yes, I will bear your burdens. Yes, I will exchange your sins for my righteousness. How have you responded to that? Right, today I want you to find time to praise God for his goodness. I want you to get with your friends or get with your family and just praise God and think back to the things that he has done in your life that have demonstrated his goodness. To sit there and speak and praise and worship him. Right? This week, I want you to spend time seeking his will. Spend a few more minutes each day reading your Bible. And when you finish reading, don't just put it away. Read it and then ask yourself, so what? So what does this mean? How is God trying to speak to me? How is God trying to talk to me? And then get this, then listen. Right? Don't ask the question and put the Bible away. If you ask God a question, expect an answer. Think about it. And pray about it. What is God trying to reveal to you through his word? And if you've never, ever depended on his grace, do it now, right? He's already said yes to giving you life. He's already said yes to exchanging your sins for his righteousness. He's already said yes to calling you a child of the king. Why are you saying no? You have a better plan? Greater perspective. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never said, God, I trust you and I'm giving my life to you, what are you waiting for? Right? If you want to talk with somebody, man, I would love to talk with you. There's guys that are wearing name tags. They would love to talk to you. They're going to be in the front or in the front and in the back, depending on where you're sitting. And they would love to talk with you. If you've never depended on God's grace, man, start today. Start today. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I'm so